As you know, we were at Assembly Required at the beginning of November. And instead of a here's what I bought episode, this time we had Brian Sauer, who, with Travis Weber and their team, build and host the Codename Iowa Assembly Required. This isn't his first time joining Joel and I, but this time we don't have to ask him about the upcoming show. We get to talk about his experience after the fact. You're going to like the conversation. It's a joy. And as you listen, go to codenameiowa.com, pick up some of the merch that you missed if you weren't there, or missed while you were there and you were busy buying other things or conversing, and plan on Assembly Required next year, November 8th and 9th, in Des Moines, Iowa.
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
We were going to spend the day in Chicago on Sunday. We had like a weird, like semi-run-in at a rest stop.
Oh, shit.
I think I told you we bought the stuff to like sleep in the van.
Yep.
We left Saturday. We started the trek and got to about an hour outside of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole has like an app that's got all this, like all like the safe places to stay or whatever, where you can stay overnight without, you know, headache, whatever. And we pull into this Love's. This Love's was like crazy because it was essentially like an RV park. And then all of the parking that like surrounded the exterior of the lot had like a 2-hour sign that was like, you know, you'll be towed. So the only places that you could park overnight were directly in front of the store. And it was one of those Love's that had like a Hardee's with a drive-through. And there was like 8 spots in between the drive-through line so that every time someone drove through, they circled around these like 8 spots. But there was an actual rest stop like a few minutes away. So we like went out there. Everything was great. You know, we got set up, you know, went to bed. And at like 6:50 in the morning, we hear like someone like slamming on the car horn. And I'm like, awesome. So I get up, you know, we go in and like brush our teeth, whatever. And as we're coming back out, I see the guy. And he's in like a sedan with all the windows down. And it was like, you know, 35 degrees. It wasn't like that warm. And he's got music volume 100. And he's just like going off in his car. Well, we were parked kind of one space away from this truck that had been on all night. Like someone was sleeping in the truck. They had it, you know, running all night, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back in the van. We're like, I guess let's just kind of like lay around, relax for a little bit. Like we started the van, get a little heat, you know, whatever. And then like this guy pulls in between us and the truck, turns his music, like it's got to be the max volume of the car. He opens up his car doors and is just screaming. And he's like screaming at the truck. So I like we're peering back the window covers a little and we're like looking, you know, trying not to get his attention. And he's like trying to get this guy in the truck to like wake up and fight him or something. And I was like, we've got to get out of here because this is the type of guy, like he's looking for a confrontation. Like who knows what he's got going on. I don't know if he's got some sort of weapon. Like he's looking like he's aggressing a fight. We got changed. And then I had peeled off like the window covers on the opposite side. And Nicole climbed into the front seat. Because he was like pacing around his car and like screaming and jumping up and down and shit. And his music is like loudest a car can get. And as soon as he like walked towards the opposite end of his car, she like pulled out, drove like a quarter of a mile down the parking lot ramp to go off, pulled the last window cover off, and then just made our way into Chicago. No, but yeah, we made it back. Did you have a nice week to decompress?
Trying to. I would say I had a couple days in there where I was feeling pretty good. Today, the last couple days have been a little stressful. Like, just really what it is that we've just had a flood of sales come in post show.
Oh yeah.
More than I've ever seen. And so of course it's like a combination of things I can't find in the storage unit and large orders that I'm just like, how am I going to pack this shit so it doesn't, you know, get destroyed?
Is it all the cold slither stuff?
A lot of the cold slither stuff. I'm surprised at how many of the employee of the month runner-up plaques we're selling, but it's just been all over the board. It's been everything. Like, I think we've only sold about 4 of the CDs, but all the video game consoles are gone. It's crazy.
Did I miss the employee of the month runner up? Was that on the table?
Yes. It's a smaller plaque with a silver emblem on it instead of the gold emblem.
I guess my mind just read that as I already have it.
Yep, probably.
add to the chaos.
No, I started. I think I've packed about a dozen things tonight, and I'm waiting for some boxes to show up tomorrow to pack some more. It's going to keep me busy for a while.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that's not the worst.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's definitely not a bad problem to have, you know. Like, it could be the opposite where I'm just sitting on top of all this stuff where nothing to go. So
it's people seem to have a massive reaction to the cold slither stuff.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is really, really crazy. I mean, I knew there was gonna be some reaction to it, but I'm just totally blown away by it. Totally blown away just by the reaction to the show, period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super happy I was able to finally make it. And I mean, I'm planning on next year, whether I end up flying or driving. I'm probably going to fly, but
depends on if your driver is willing.
Well, and I mean, also, it's just like we definitely, you know, turned it into quite the excursion. It's a great show. I'm glad to finally have made it. I only missed one panel that I wanted to catch, but then I ended up watching it on the internet. So
yeah, well, that's awesome. Yeah. I need to go back and watch the panels, because that's definitely something I wanted to do. I didn't get much of a chance to catch the, well, Michael's panel was the one I didn't get to catch any of it, because, well, first thing in the show and running around getting everything settled in and stuff. So
you had spent your Michael panel time before the panel trying to get the speaker to work.
Right. Yes. Trying to get some audio together. So, yeah.
Which I think that worked out fine. Everybody was loud. Everybody projected. Everybody scooted forward. I don't think there was much hearing problems without the speaker.
This was his first con appearance. The Claymore Cold Slither. Michael Hill?
Michael. Yeah.
That is very cool. That is a good score.
Yeah.
It was neat. I was specifically, like, when you were doing the cold slither thing, like, right, I like turned around, you know, right after, and he was like, you could tell he was having like a little moment. It was really nice.
I think he had quite a few moments. I think he was, I mean, I keep using the word enamored, because I think that's the best way to describe how he was. He was just enamored with everything that was going on. And everybody's responses and reactions to essentially the foundation he laid down with that episode.
It is pretty crazy what a lasting effect that particular chunk has had. I mean, at the first Joe Fest, someone made a Zartan, what is it, S-Man? Is that what he went by in that phrase? Z-Man. Someone like that custom figure that someone made a few of is like an insane get on the aftermarket, more expensive than like produced figures. So yeah, I mean, and obviously when they put Cold Slither on, you know, Metalhead coming up, everyone went goo goo gaga, and I of course had to put on my naysayer cap, and I was like looking at the year that he came out versus the year of the core episode, and I'm like, I don't think there's any crossover here.
Dude, Michael was so good. Michael was so very good. But jumping all the way, like, just so that we can set the stage, you know, in the most clunky way possible. What I'm really curious about is, how did this go for you? Because you do this every year. You do this 12, you've done this 12 other times. You do it in November. I don't know if I'm at five, maybe. I don't know. I've come to a few of them. And I kind of, you know, I have a three-page document of all of my notes from the weekend. A lot happened in the 5 days I spent at a one-day show or one-and-a-half-day show. I can go long on my own experience, but I know there were five panels. There were two main guests, Josh Blaylock, the steward of the comic book from 2001 until what, 2008? And then Michael Hill, who wrote the Cold Slither episode, but then he was producer on like 60 G.I. Joe episodes.
He wrote two other Joe episodes. He wrote, I believe it was Ninja Holiday and Creeping Into the Night, the last episode of the second season of the Sunbow series.
Right. And then he also wrote for Deke. I think he did two episodes for Deke. Mm-hmm. So three episodes, two for Deke. He wrote five or six for Transformers. He created an iconic Transformer character, the Cold Slither song, which is crazy iconic. But no one's ever talked to him before. And so I'm kind of curious, like, I mean, other than just going to IMDb, looking up the writer and calling him, like, how did you pull him in particular? And then just kind of like your story with AR this year, because Disassembly Required and Cold Slither was a great mashup of, I mean, one theme, but two different parts of it. I mean, the show is growing. The show is, I would say it's a two-day show now if you purchase the customizing class. And the dinner and the Friday night. And it's you and Travis, Steve and David, Malachi and Alex and Chad, which is a really small group to do the level of stuff you guys do.
There's also Dak in there.
You're right. Dak is also in that group. I just didn't see him that much this time because we did a lot less at the temple than we normally do. So Dak should never be forgotten. He does a lot for you guys as well. So I've just talked a lot, as I said. What's your experience? I guess giving the rundown of, like, this is not a small endeavor, although it is a small group of people trying to do it, or not trying, actually doing it for 12 years. You've already announced next year. What is your experience? Like, you know, you've been working on this for a year. Boom, it's done in a weekend, even though some of us come in for 5 days. How does this land for you?
It goes by fast, for good and for bad. But yeah, it goes by fast. I can't believe it's only been a week so far. It feels like it's been at least a month since I've seen everybody for some reason. No, I'd say this year's show went better than previous years. Things were much smoother. And I think, you know, last year being a new venue, we had bugs to work out. I think we worked out a lot of those bugs. I think we got ahead of the curve on a lot of things that needed to be, pre-show prep, made a big difference in the actual experience for us as a team, for sure. But I also feel that, you know, there's a little room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. But no, I mean, I think I found it to be, you know, probably one of the more enjoyable shows, you know, I've had. As far as from my personal level goes, because so many things were taken care of. The support I was getting from everybody who helps out was good. And, it, you know, there's always a little bit of a hiccup. There's always a little bit of, you know, like, oh, we're 3 hours to doors. How come we don't have everything ready yet? But yeah, I felt like this year ran pretty good.
From my perspective, it felt pretty good. You guys seemed a lot less harried. I don't want to say the word stressed because you're probably just as stressed. If you're not under the gun as much, it doesn't show. I love the venue. I like the venue for two reasons. One, it's right next to the hotel. It's easy to get in and out of. And when the weather is crap, like last year, we have the skywalk. And when it's beautiful, like this year, we have a parking lot walk. So it's perfect. And then second, every time I walk into that building, it's obvious that this relationship with them grows with your show. You don't need another spot. This place can hold you forever. It's enormous. We saw that it could support Shania Twain fans, which was a fun and rather drunken mix of Joe people and Shania people all weekend. But I just mean, like, I love the location you have, the hotel, that spot. And then, yes, there's two restaurants right across the street that are very walkable, but we can get across the bridge half a mile down. We have the whole eating area. If we walk into the city, we got a couple spots. I love your location.
Thank you. Yeah, I do feel like we have one of the, yeah, we've kind of found that spot. Like you said, it's great. It's a great space for us right now. It's a great space for us to grow into. Basically, we're at the in the training rooms, in the beginning rooms, the meeting rooms in the lower level, which are, you know, obviously, you know, we can take all seven or eight rooms and make those all ours if we needed to.
And it would still be a large show at that point.
Yes. Yes. And if we outgrow that, then there's upstairs, which is, again, there's giant, giant conference hall, convention hall. There's another kind of there's auxiliary spaces all around. So, yeah, we have no problems with staying in this space and growing as it goes on.
Yeah.
And the venue's been good to work with. You know, again, the only thing we have to keep in mind is our budget and pricing and stuff, which, you know, I'm always very hesitant about that just because, you know, we do run a tight on our margins and, you know, it's not for profit, but that doesn't necessarily mean we need to lose money. So, just gotta, you know, keep things in mind, that stuff in mind.
With your tight crew, this is the same crew that's been helping you for the last 12 years as well, right? Obviously Alex and Malachi have been an addition as they've grown.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the crew, you guys have been pretty tight and running for a while. Each of your years has a theme, has a very particular theme, and has a very specific look, whether it was Night Force, Tiger Force. Hell, you did a better 40th than most people did last year. This year with being Dreadnoughts, you were sending out all point bulletins that looked like Dot Matrix. So we could hear them when we read them. When we got there, you had the badges. Everybody's badge had a different Dreadnought of the original 11 on their badges. And then you had each of those match the posters that were hanging up outside. You had a big Cold Slither stage. The gear kit this year was the swamp cabin that went from cabin to the high-tech one from the cartoons. You had a customizing kit if you want to break your Zartan apart and make him into Z-Man. There's a bunch of tiny little things that really go into this that aren't necessarily a single, like, we made 15 customs. This is a whole thing that you put together, you pre-sell, you're still shipping them out. It's a playset that I can tell you has been, well, I've already told you many, many, many times. We play with them in our house, so they're always fun. They're always exciting. They are a little large if you fly. But to go along with the Dreadnought theme, you guys have a CD out that both Chad continued the Cold Slither song and then Rap Viper.
Yep. Word Burglar. He did. Yes, he did a track on there. And I coached one of my high school friends who's, you know, does a little musicianship and recording on his own. And so I got him to go ahead and reimagine or interpretate the song in a all new fashion. So not a new fashion, but basically do his best version of Cold Slither in a long format with some additional lyrics from Chad, and, you know, gave us a complete song. Since in the cartoon, they never gave us a complete song. It was there, but it was chopped up. And yeah, so we had some fun with that.
And you guys played the song in front of the person who wrote the episode, who wrote the song. So.
Right.
It's ballsy, but it seemed to have worked. As Joel mentioned, like, we could see him in the room having fun with it. I am really curious how you made contact and brought Michael out, because he was such a joy. And I have some great stories from him and with him and talking to Pat about him. But how did you find Michael? What brought him out?
Well, he found us. He found us through those very same FBI bulletins.
Yes.
the APBs. Yeah, he had commented on them in one of the Joe groups. And, you know, and he said from the, you know, from the man who wrote the episode and wrote the song, I approve.
Oh, shit.
And I was just floored by that, because you never know how somebody's going to react to our riff on their work. And so for him to just jump out and, like, you know, compliment us like that, like without knowing us or anything, I felt like, wow, this is amazing.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I literally replied back to his reply, and I was like, that's awesome. You know, thanks so much for what you did. Would love to talk to you sometime. And he literally, like, direct messaged me 20 minutes later, and I'm like, definitely want to get on your radar. Definitely want to talk to you. We exchanged kind of messages back and forth for a week or so, then finally got on the phone with him. You know, we were both like, this is an awesome opportunity and need to take it on. You know, it was just one of those things that, like, when else are we going to do this? When else are we going to, you know, we're not likely to repeat a Cold Slither theme anytime soon. And so, yeah, it just made total sense. It was, you know, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up. He agreed to come out and got all the arrangements taken care of. And next thing you know, he's booked as a guest and on his way to Iowa for the first time.
He was spectacular. It is just one more compliment to what you're doing that you were able to fish him out of the ether, because none of us have talked to him before. He's sort of, you know, one of the lost uncles of our genre. And I didn't know he was part of the community. And so you walked him in to Monsterama. We're all having pizza, playing arcade games, and he's somebody walking around with you. So I just assumed he was a Des Moines person attached to the show, but no. Downstairs, you introduced us, and he immediately was just very friendly and giving and jumping into conversations, had a couple fun stories to tell, then hung out with all of us Friday night, went to dinner. We've already talked about how you guys played Chad and Word Burglar songs in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, he had a panel, which you very kindly had me help with. I really didn't have to do much. I just had to, like, key him up, and he had stories galore. And the thing that I think is interesting, he talked a lot about Special Mission Brazil.
That was definitely one of those happy things that was just totally surprised by. That his involvement with that. Didn't realize that he was in there at the time.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a great twofer, right? You bring him in for mm-hmm. Cold Slither and you get Claymore and Special Mission Brazil. The stories he was telling about that stuff were awesome. And later on, when we were talking to Pat Stewart, like him and Chris Murray, was like, did we know any of this before today? And they were like, no. We didn't. It's not easy to find something that the declassified boys don't already know, haven't already logged. One of the things you did with all five of your panels, that one, plus Blaylocks and Rising Suns, After Action Report, and the Declassified, which, again, if you never get to see a declassified panel, you need to come to these shows. You had Hooded Cobra Commander 788 record them. I don't know if all of them, but I know at least a few of those panels are on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, he came through and just volunteered to record them. And, you know, we were like, hey, that would be awesome. Because, we do have so much information and things that come out that we want to make sure that we spread it, that we capture the information that's being put out there for other people to enjoy. It's just really good to have a record of all this.
Every panel I've seen from D-Class at your show has been very deep. The other panels that have always been informative and fun. It's nice that these are being captured now, especially that one. After Michael's panel, I was in the hallway and ended up in some conversations, and you know how I am. So I missed two panels.
No, I get caught up in doing show stuff, and I get to miss them too. So, yeah, thankfully, yes, they are captured.
One of my favorite things that you did this year, I keep saying favorite, I guess they're all my favorite. I'm not picking children, I suppose. But one of the things that I love that you did this year, I guess is a better way of putting it, Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night we did the game night.
Yeah, Thursday night in room 401, the Dealt Hand came in and did gaming then, and then Friday afternoon at the show, and then all day Saturday. And we talked about that last year when Joe and Mary came in and did this. So bringing them back was spectacular. But having them come in Thursday night for, you know, some of the Thursday night crew to take a break from lobby drinking to go drink while playing a board game was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. The game itself, what Renegade does, is so fun and cool. But we never either take the time to get together as a group and play, or we've never taken the time to even learn the game. So having that opportunity and having that resource makes for a really fun addition to the show.
They're really friendly. They're very approachable. They're really knowledgeable, and they really get a good game going. And if people aren't having fun, they just let them slide away, and they bring in the new people. And if people are having fun, they just keep going. I'm really impressed by the way they manage teaching people, sometimes drunk people, how to play games.
Yeah, they are. They are a wonderful couple of people. I've been fortunate enough that they've been a client of mine. Secret is that we traded a little bit of work, or I traded a little bit of work for their participation this year. Just doing them, you know, doing them a solid, like they'll do me a solid. And so, yeah, it's great. And, you know, I've already talked to Joe about next year and, you know, if he's, you know, he's down for next year and what we can do to, you know, freshen it up a little bit and keep people interested.
Did you sit down and play any of the games, Joel? Did you have a moment for that?
No, it was something I would like to do, but every time I thought about it, there was just like some sort of conversation I didn't want to walk away from. So on a very positive of a negative, it's hard to balance out the FaceTime when you're at these events, and especially this event. For me, it lived up to exactly what it's always been described as, which is, you know, the floor is good. There's plenty of stuff to spend money on, but it's the social con. It should feel more isolated because, you know, everything is super involved, like most bigger conventions when you have the hotel is on site with, there was just enough socializing going on that you could socialize on the sales floor, in the lobby, upstairs, in front of the hotel, in the parking lot. Like, it was awesome to get extra time with people that you don't get as much time with at other events sometimes.
Well, you bring up a couple of good points. Like it is one of those places where it's an open exchange and it has accessibility for people to, you know, to meet people that you see online or that you don't normally know around. Like, you know, you don't necessarily get in those little conversations like with everybody. You don't get that ability to meet somebody that you only know from online or from their podcast or something like that. Like, this is just much more intimate.
Yes, that's something I was struggling with, how to figure out how to say it. It's like there's a lot less commotion, but there's like way more, it's more personable. But yeah, it was definitely the more intimate, more, it just felt way more friendly all the way around. It just kind of felt like a small town in there. In a very positive way of being able to just like, all the vendors were super friendly. I say this every time I go to a toy show, but it's always a blessing to kind of stumble into stuff that you maybe shouldn't see. And I kind of took advantage of the next two shows I'm going to. I'm 99% sure I'm flying. Since I drove to AR, I kind of took advantage of buying some bigger items. And there's a gentleman selling some customized stuff, and he was selling stuff at a price that was comically low, and he was just like, yeah, I'm kind of over 118, I'm moving into 6 inch, I'm just trying to get all my old stuff to a good home. So I actually wound up leaving AR with four more of like the 30th anniversary Pursuit of Cobra style HISS tanks, a custom painted Tomahawk or Eagle Hawk, excuse me. My last purchase of the event was from Midwest Vintage Toys. They had this bin of modern stuff that had a really good price on it Friday night. And I was like, I'm not even going to look through that bin because I could see there was, you know, good stuff piled in. And then Sunday they had cut the price in half. And I was like, well, I at least got to look now. And then I started digging through the bin and I was just like, all right, well, I guess I'm buying this giant bin of like kind of one of those things where I was like, I have so much stuff. I shouldn't buy this, but the price is just too good. Like, I can't walk away from this at this price.
Well, you bring up Midwest Toys. And so, Brian, I find something like Aaron and Scott, it's interesting. The vendors seem to be a lot more tied into helping the show and doing things with and for the show than just showing up, complaining about what time they get to load in, load out 30 minutes before the show closes and get home. That doesn't seem to happen at your show. And I find that interesting. You know, all the different vendors that we all know that are there, they participate and hang out and are really into the show in a different way than I see at a lot of different shows. G.I. Joe, other toy, comic, etc. It's just another piece of when we talk about intimacy and things like that, you've built a lot of loyalty in those who are vendoring, which isn't always a thing. Am I accurate here?
Yeah, there's, obviously there's vendors who come and go, some did just come once and it's not for them or whatever, but like a lot of them, they just love the hangout. They love the vibe. They love the feeling. And Aaron and Scott in particular, like I remember Aaron just showed up one day to one of our shows and was like, hey, you think you got room for me to set up a table? And I'm like, we'll make room for you. Sure. You know, and that was kind of it. And he had a great time. And he's like, this kind of just seals the deal. Like, I'm coming every year. And then he brought Scott with and the next year. And next thing you know, like they've just been coming and they get a kick out of the people, the giveaways, the kids, the whole vibe and everything. And, you know, we hear this from vendors so often. They're like, I'm not too concerned whether I make money or not. I'm just having fun here. You know, like I'm enjoying myself. And I guess that apparently is something that doesn't happen at every show.
Not at every show.
There's a lot of, you know, people worried about, you know, having to cover certain, you know, covering costs and, you know, making the money and justifying the expense. But yeah, I think for some reason, there's a lot of people who just want to come and have a good time. And, you know, you kind of see that, especially like on Friday when it's a smaller group, when it is the VIP and everybody kind of just goes and hangs out. It's not a high pressure situation at all.
I think this is the first year that I haven't pulled crazy rare stuff out of the show because I kind of handed all my money to Alexander and just let him experience because he's been asking for years to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And A then asked weekly from June up until when I finally told him yes at the beginning of October. And of course, you and Ben and Mark were riding me to like, you gotta stop pissing around. What are you doing? You gotta bring him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a blast. He showed up, took a lot of pride in trying to help at Temple, building all the things that you need to build, shrink wrapping stuff, having a good time. When he got bored, you guys showed him where the game room was and he had fun there. He liked hanging around with Alex and Malachi as well as he's always having fun with the adults. And then with Mark's daughter, that was some Children of the Corn, twinsy, frightening nonsense. Those two got along great next to each other. Like, you guys could be siblings. Hell, they could be twins because they both had the same length hair. And if I just put him in black, they could have been. But he had such a good time. He's already talking about next year. When you and I talked on the phone the other night, he's yelling at you that he's coming next year.
Mm-hmm,
it's a lot of fun. you are taking the creative capital, you're spending the energy, the sleepless nights, the money, the reputation and the relationships, you're spending all that capital every year to do this. I'm really very curious about your experience and perspective coming into this show and why it's so important and what makes it compelling for you to do every year when it would be so much easier for you to just hire out your efforts and then show up at a show and get drunk and hang out. You know what I mean?
I definitely know what you mean. I definitely have those thoughts every so often of like, what am I really wanting to get out of this? But for me, it really is that satisfaction of seeing the community come together, giving us another place to gather once a year, if not, you know, for the second time in a year, giving us that ability to get together. And again, like I said, a low pressure situation where good conversation, good networking, good times can be had and still feel like, you know, and still get the whole vibe. I mean, pretty much trying to just bring all my friends together and play G.I. Joe for a weekend is the best way to describe it.
Not a bad motivation.
No, I think about the ideas of like, you know, what do I get out of this? And I get out of this just a lot of satisfaction and joy. I get the idea that I'm helping to promote a brand, a product, something that was so close to me as growing up and that I've rediscovered in my adulthood and have a different level of love for than I had before. And watching other people rediscover it or share it. You know, obviously a big part of our show is the kids and, you know, things like Alex and Malachi being part of the team now, being part of the crew is huge because the brand isn't pulling in the youngsters anymore. It's, you know, that's been the thing with toys in general, but, you know, we want to cultivate the kids. We want to make sure that we do have the children, you know, of the adults who come in and want to spend all their time looking at toys and talking to toys and digging through bins. We want to make sure those kids have an activity to do. We want to make sure that they're engaged. They're just not there like being drug along as an excuse, like, you know, doing the whole kid scavenger hunt, having them ask questions, having them participate and then getting product at the end of for their efforts. That's all to try to entice them so that they can continue going on with this once we're long past our prime. I think that's important. That's very important.
I deeply agree. We need a new generation. We need a next generation. Even if it's not all for us, we need a next generation.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love it. I think one of the things that I also find compelling about AR is it is outside of the usual band of G.I. Joe shows in the U.S. You have one or two up in the Northeast, you have SoCal in Southern California, and then everything else, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Georgia, all of them. There is a specific band of the country that is rife with toy shows and G.I. Joe shows, and you have given an opportunity outside of that, which I think is really compelling because, one, Des Moines is very charming as a town, but also you're bringing in a bit more of the Midwest, not just this one band that skirts the line of Central and Eastern time zone. To me, that's one of the fun things because it adds another place for me to travel to, another place for me to see outside of my normal zone. Yes, I still plan on hitting a SoCal Joe show. Yeah, I still want to hit up to the Northeast and hit a couple spots too. But because I live in the middle of Tennessee, I am really fortunate and privileged to, within 5 to 6 hours, hit a dozen toy shows in a year. So you are outside of that band, which means that, hey, I need to fly or I need to drive for 10 hours. And I think it's fine. It's worth it. It's great. whether I fly or whether I drive, it's always on my list. It starts my list. And when we do a show in January where we talk about, like, let's plan for 2024, this is at the top of the list. And then Joel, you drove 26 hours there and back, 13 and 13 or 14, 14, something like that.
Call it 30. Because there is a time change. So you've announced the theme at the show. Have you announced it publicly for next year?
We have not published it, but no, it's safe to talk about. It's definitely Iron Grenadiers next year. We're all in on IG.
How far into your planning of theming are you? Is it just the name, or are you like, I've already got the posters drawn, I've got the t-shirt in my head?
It's been a week.
it's been a week, but there is drafts of things that have been, how do I say this? There are things that have been talked about and planned about already, and no, nothing's not like, you know, it's not like we got the full regalia put together or anything like that, but no, there's been plenty of conversations between Chad and I, and also between Travis and I, about different aspects of the show. And, you know, they got my invite to the official Google Doc that's got things mapped out on it. And, you know, we're about 3-4 pages deep in that Google Doc right now of details and things we're talking about. So
I'm excited to see what you dig out, because the IG is a very interesting, you know, subset. If you look at, you know, the vintage era was a bit more, in certain ways, a bit more flushed out. The club, mm-hmm. you know, in the modern format, the club definitely had some fun with, you know, the Iron Grenadiers. And I believe they added a couple of their own characters in the mix. I'm really excited to see. They definitely lend themselves to some amazing silhouettes and imagery. So I'm very excited to see what you do with that. The signage at your show is out of control. It's yeah, you know, I got a sneak peek Thursday night. You know, I was fortunate enough to be riding in the vehicle of one of your team, you know, your staff, we'll call them. And sitting next to me in the back seat are the passes for the weekend. And I'm like, you know, glancing over and whatever. I know you wouldn't have cared one way or another that if I saw it, but I was trying to save some surprise, you know. And I was just like looking at these, you know, these plastic badges, and I was like, this is way more official than it has the right to be. Like, the details are spectacular. Anytime that there's people working on the brand that like live and love for this brand, it comes through in the product and the details and the Easter eggs and, you know, all that stuff is amazing. So when you have, you know, when you have someone who is a diehard for this brand putting on a convention that's themed around the brand that they love, it comes through in everything. Everything that you designed for the show, right down to the Cold Slither like stage where you could stand and read the giveaways, was like so over the top in the best way.
Well, it's what I love to do. I mean, okay, let's say you look at even, I don't know, take whatever your favorite era of G.I. Joe is, and you take a look at it and you really look at the detail, then that's what makes it so cool, is the level of detail, the little things, the accessories, the interactivity between, you know, it could be a vehicles and different accessories and how they fit together. So all that stuff is, I try to accentuate that when putting the show together. It's all those little things. So much of the experience for me of the Joes was getting a vehicle, was opening up that vehicle and all the paperwork that came with it. It's the blueprints. It's the cross cell. It's the catalog. It's whatever thing they're packing in with that stuff. And then, of course, you got the toy. So much of the paper goods, the texture, the feel, the smell, the, all that detail, that's what I want to try to recapture and put into the mind of the attendee. It is all that stuff. who doesn't have a shoebox full of card backs and whatever giveaways they were doing and whatever handouts and flyers and all that stuff, you know, all the ephemera stuff that people just hold on to.
Which, speaking of card backs, you gave us a lot of new art card backs this year. You started doing that, I think, with Armor a couple of years ago. But at this point, there's, 30 or 40 that you've put out so far. Chad helps you write them. Maybe I'm exaggerating the number, but I don't think so. There's a lot. Last year, you did a bunch of card. You did 20 card backs last year for the original 16 plus tan versions. And then this year, you put out all 11 Dreadnoughts plus all of Colt's Leather, the Z family in their blue form. And then for Michael Hill, you put out a Claymore card that he could sell with his signature.
And also a Zanya for Josh.
I missed the Zanya for Josh. So now I've got to go hit Josh up and get that.
There's been a number of them. It's funny because I think, was the first ones? Yeah, we're for the Armor, for First Armor. It was Clutch and the His Tank Driver, Ripper, and Tan Clutch.
Yes.
And then Ninja Force did four of those for Ninja Force.
Yes.
But yeah, then last year I decided to get silly with it and do all the original lineup and the Mail-Aways, Cobra Commander, and everything else. And so then, of course, this year I had to do more, which now has led myself down a very dangerous path of how many of these things do I have to produce? Like, for IG, am I going to do all the IG characters or not? That's like, it's kind of a question I've been trying to comprehend a little bit, because I do have a very long list of IG characters, and it's
daunting.
It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, my vote is yes, just because I think having those card backs is such a treat, and they're very much your own version of a card back.
Depends on how you count, but yeah, there's 18, depending on how you count.
I think we talked about this during Armor this year. These file cards, yes, the front of them is your art. It's your take on the character in your graphic design. But the back of them isn't just a bootleg copy of the original file card. You guys are rewriting the file cards. I think what you said was, if you had 40 years of knowledge, how would you rewrite it? And it comes out great. The stuff that you and Chad have done, and I think you said Word Burglar helped on a couple. I don't know if Travis or anyone else is tossing in words, but I'm reading the file cards the way I would read like a Hasbro file card, or like Dan's books or Carson's books, or, you know, a D class magazine. I'm reading them the same way as I would anything that's coming into my house that's G.I. Joe. I'm absorbing it and I'm loving it, and they're so well done.
Thanks.
So not to create FOMO in anybody that did miss out, but also
well, they're available on our store. Go to codenameiowa.com and go to the store and you can find most of them there. But yeah, it's fun, because I don't know if I'll ever get to sit down and write a G.I. Joe book, and nor do I know what new material to cover in a G.I. Joe book that hasn't been put out there yet. But this is a way to kind of, you know, for Chad and I both to have fun and summarize kind of, you know, like you said, 40 years of history and putting it in there in a unique way. And, you know, because the first file cards were merely notes, you know, and were more statistics about what each Joe learned and trained on. Where eventually got a little more personality. So we're able to add story elements from, you know, all three continuities of, you know, being the file card, being the comic book, and being the cartoon, and kind of melding them together and trying to come up with not necessarily a definitive character or synopsis of the character, but trying to give it a more of a just a summary.
Well, it works and it's very fun. I do recommend them to people. They're a lot of fun and I like to highlight them every time. When I think about AR, because it is outside of my band or the main band of Joe shows, you know, travel's going to be a little bit. I don't know what Allegiant or what Des Moines has on Allegiant, but Allegiant seems to be having a lot of direct flights to Des Moines popping up around. I just found out there was a direct flight for me, so I'll be looking at that next year. Although the drive was quite easy. Not necessarily the drive home because I minimize sleep, maximize booze and talk. You know, Joel and I weren't the furthest that came in. But because of Des Moines' sort of central location, people from Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, the Big M's, people from Colorado, Arizona, obviously New York with Joel, Nashville with me, Illinois, Indiana, we're all kind of coming in. You know, North Dakota represents. Everybody's kind of showing up because you are a good central location for the whole damn country.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start thinking about that, your show still remains Saturday free, which is insane, but good on you. Friday, there is a limited dinner and an unlimited VIP Friday afternoon. That's always a fun one to get to. That's going to be cheap. If you add the dinner, the VIP, there's always a gear kit, which I know you guys are always working toward. How do you maximize content, minimize price to make it available to everyone? I think you're very price conscious when it comes to people's budgets because you guys have tight budgets just like the rest of us. So really the big part of Iowa is travel and hotel. You guys did not choose the cheapest hotel, but it is dead on site with the convention center. It has a great parking garage below and then a sky bridge to a parking garage a block away. And there's cheaper hotels nearby. So if you don't mind doing the 2-block walk or, you know, 2-mile drive, you can stay in Iowa for 60, 50 bucks a night. The host hotel is a little more than that. I think it's 180-ish a night. Close to 200?
Something. I think it's supposed to be discounted to like $150 or $160. But then, yeah, with everything else, you know, of course, it jumps up a little.
I come in for 5 days because I like to be able to like show up, relax. I don't call you, you know, like I sent you a text, hey, we're in town. But I didn't say, hey, what are you doing? Can I bother your time?
Right.
So I personally like to show up a little early, leave a little late because it just makes it a little more relaxing for me. And so I have rooms outside of the block. But 150, 160 for the block is as good as you're going to get anywhere else. So you're a night or two, you're 300 in for that, plus your flight.
And flights are getting easier. The airport's expanding. There's going to be, you know, the next couple of years, there's going to be a lot more direct flights. It'll be a lot easier to travel in, which, you know, is a big deal because we're as easy / difficult as it is to get to some other shows.
The Des Moines airport, before it expanded, was a very easy airport to get in and out of. Not had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Expanding it just makes it easier. If there are direct flights, then it's a fast trip no matter where you're coming from. Even with a good layover, it's not a hard trip to get to Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, for like Joel, who's coming 14 hours or so driving, or me coming 10, not a lot of mountains to go through. pretty easy, calm drive. A lot of state routes and highways, but still pretty calm drive. When you look at the price of toys these days, putting $300 on a hotel and... I don't know, 300, 400 on a plane flight. If you start your year planning in January, you got 11 months or about 10 months since at the beginning of November. Even if you plan it at midsummer, when you're at the heart, which you're at the heart of con season, you still got 3 or 4 or 6 months. It's reasonable and it's worth it once you're on ground and having a blast. Everyone I'm seeing there are people that I see every year there because We're all showing up. We're all prioritizing it. Yes, life things happen, which is why it took Joel a couple of years to show up. and I mean, we were taking bets on what life thing would happen this year, Joel.
Well, nothing.
But I think it's a show worth prioritizing. If the show floor is important to you, you know, there was a guy there with a dozen boxed vehicles. There's always rare things, as well as there were dig bins. If the socializing is there for you, well, I mean, that's all I ever talk about. So I don't know how you could still be confused. But is in talking dollars, you know, $600 to $700 for a weekend trip. I mean, you're not going to Disney for that. You're not going anywhere for that. I think that's a cheap and reasonable expectation.
What's the new guy got to say about it? He's, you know, being your first time there.
No, it lived up to the very high standards that were set over a decade of listening to all of the various past G.I. Joe podcasts and community members that some are still around, some aren't. But everybody basically had the same thing to say about AR. And it was a very pleasant surprise that I walked into exactly what has been advertised, not by you, but by the community at large. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely top priority, you know, moving forward. And honestly, the hotel with the discount for the room was not crazy. Very comparable to other conventions. And it was one of the nicest, cleanest hotels I've ever stayed in. I'm sold. I was sold before I was able ever to go, and I'm certainly sold after, you know, getting to go. I'm excited. I mean, like I said, I'm excited for the signage alone for next year. I'm excited for see what sort of weird, insane things that you dig up out of the ether to present to the world.
That's sort of the fun of it, though. I mean, for me, it's the creative outlet. But I also love, like, you know, the reactions that people have to things and seeing stuff. Like, you know, one of my favorite stuff is always the whatever we're giving away at dinner on Friday. You know, that kind of thing. This year, being the CD was so awesome. The reaction to it. And, you know, and I think that's the thing. It's like every year we're trying to top ourselves, not just to top ourselves to be more spectacular, but just to kind of push ourselves creatively and to keep bringing something newer to the show. So it doesn't become the same old, same old. Like the format may stay the same, but the stuff that goes into that is different.
The CD souvenir for the dinner was above and beyond, we'll say. I mean, in a time frame where everything is done digitally and everything is streamed or however, like, to get that very nostalgic for me, like someone's demo CD, it was a really fun moment, you know? And, I mean, even right down to the CDR with the marker on it, it's just, like, it's very, very much takes me back. even now, people, you know, everything is digital. Nobody does, you know, most bands that are putting out demos don't ever do anything physical. So, I mean, my projects do, but it's, you know, it was a treat. And then, you know, I pulled the leaflet out at the table to make sure it wasn't just the single-sided insert. And, you know, it unfolded and it was, I mean, even right down to you guys lugged a boombox over to you know, to play the CD off from. It's like, again, it would have been so much easier to just grab a, you know, like a really nice small Bluetooth speaker and stream it. But instead, you know, someone carried a boombox across the street and that
yeah,
was...
I had to go out and buy eight D batteries, which apparently are a little hard to track down these days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's insane.
I'll add in one more highlight. The cartoons and cereal. What a like hilariously simple idea that shouldn't translate as well as it did. And then it just a bunch of people sitting and standing around with bowls of cereal watching the cartoon.
It's a it's such a novel experience that I just, you know, and like you said, lo-fi, low cost of entry to do that kind of stuff, but so fun and memorable.
I'm sure you'll be happy that, as far as I know, there's no Iron Grenadier themed soft drink. So, so you know, unlabeling and relabeling bottles of soda is sort of a task and a half. So,
yeah, luckily, yeah, I think we'll have to come up with something completely different. We were joking, asking if anybody knew how to play the bagpipes today. We wanted to know, like, who do we know who can bring a whole Scottish drum corps through or something?
I mean, Joel's got a year to figure it out, right?
He does.
Not on a flight, I don't. Hey, I'm happy to help out, but that's not the one.
Oh, no. We've got all sorts of harebrained ideas that are starting to come out through everything. So we've got a whole year to kind of mesh those out and figure out what's doable and what crazy things that aren't really doable that we'll make happen somehow.
One of the things that I thought was really fun, and we talked about it last time we had you on, was how well the Tiger Hawks match your theme.
Oh.
They killed it this year. They brought that swamp skier. And watching Chris get super excited to wear his Iron Grenadier outfit next year at AR was a nice capstone.
I got a feeling we're going to get a lot of IG cosplay going on next year. Don Maui was over the moon. Just I'd almost close to borderline harass both Travis and I for 3 days after the show, talking about how excited he was for it and everything, which I'm glad. I really am glad, because I think there is definitely a strong contingency of the community that are really behind you, really behind IG. And I love it. I love that we can provide an outlet for everybody.
Well, the Tiger Hawks have a great Destro in their mix already. Chris already has his IG outfit. I'm sure Alex, Josh, and the rest of the crew will come equally on fire.
As long as somebody brings a vulture.
Yeah, we need to get Glenn. He got his Voltar costume. That would be nice. It'd be real nice. Have that happen again.
Assembly Required 2024 is the 7th of November.
It is the 8th and 9th. 8th is Friday. Yes.
I was going off memory. My calendar was a day off. Sorry. So the 8th and 9th of November, 2024, I'll look at flights. And if they continue to do what they've done this year, then A and I might fly. If I have to drive it again, shit, driving is easy. It's just 10 hours up the road. We'll see you in November next year.
That sounds great. And yeah, stay tuned for plenty of announcement and news throughout the year.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.